Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the powerfully prophetic book of Daniel. Follow along as Pastor Steve shows us the stunning precision of God's prophecies. At the same time, we'll see how God equipped and protected Daniel to walk in integrity and power while living in the midst of the most powerful and enticing culture the world had ever seen. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits. That's 90 feet. That's a lot of gold. 60 cubits, and its width was 6 cubits, or about 9 feet wide. This is all gold. Now, was it solid gold? We don't really know. Was there a skeleton of some kind, a frame of something? And then was it overlaid with gold? It doesn't say for sure, but 90 feet of glinting gold is pretty impressive. And so what is he doing here? I think Nebuchadnezzar is convincing himself that his kingdom will never fade, hence all gold. And before we kind of cluck our tongue at him and say, what a goober, you know, everybody dies. But how often do I live my life with this kind of conception? Investing my time, talent, and resources as if this life was the eternal one. That hits a little more closer to home. Oh, Harvest, may we always keep an eye toward the eternal. Amen. Everything that we do. And so he, Nebuchadnezzar, set it up in the plain of Dura. That's about 6 miles south of the city of Babylon, in the province of Babylon. Verse 2. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps and the administrators. That would be the magi we learned about last week. The governors, the counselors, the treasurers, now the judges and the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image of King Nebuchadnezzar that he had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and then a herald cried aloud. This was their form of a loudspeaker in those days. To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. That's a lot of folks. That at the time you hear the sound of the, if you have a real fine point pen, write a little number one, a horn, number two, a flute, number three, a harp, number four, a lyre, a fluted instrument of sorts, number five, a psaltery, and, comma, in the symphony with number six, all kinds of music. Were you counting that? That was six instruments of sorts. And the thing was how tall? 60 cubits. And how wide was it? 6 cubits. This whole thing is rotating around an interesting set of numbers. 666. Now, whenever you hear these six instruments and this music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And circle or highlight furnace, if you will, it's a fun study with your computer program that hunts up words for you and find all the places that a fiery furnace or furnace is mentioned. It's a symbol of burning away the dross so that the real and pure metal comes to the top, if it was gold or silver. And God uses the idea of furnace in a couple of different places regarding Israel specifically. The Bible says that Egypt was a furnace for his people. This fiery furnace is a model of the tribulation that's to come. We know that there is 1 week remaining in Daniel's 70-week prophecy, or 70 weeks of years. That's going to be in chapter 9. It'll be a few weeks before we get there. But we know that there is 1 7-year period left, and that 7-year period is what the book of Revelation is all about. The Bible says that the 70th week of Daniel begins when the Antichrist confirms or pulls off or perhaps enforces a treaty with the Jews for 7 years. And in that treaty, he says the Jews can begin their temple sacrifices, and he makes a covenant for guess how long? 7 years or 1 week. The rapture happens in front of that 7-year period. I think that when the rapture does happen, everything moves quite quickly. People are saying, how can some of the countries and nations and scenarios of Ezekiel 38 and 39, how could they really come off with today's climate? And why is the United States, seemingly, why is America, apparently, on the sidelines of what does happen in Ezekiel 38 and 39? We've talked about it and we speculated. When the rapture happens and the church rockets out of here and the Holy Spirit in His universal being poured out, the Holy Spirit is still in the earth, but because it is the 70th week of Daniel, the Holy Spirit is back in an Old Testament type economy again. The Bible says that when the Antichrist makes this decree and forces his contract, you Jews can rebuild your temple, and then he uses his clout to ensure that they are safe. How could one singular person really kind of grab the steering wheel of the whole planet? You have to understand something. When the Holy Spirit comes out and the church is gone, what is now restraining the spirit of Antichrist then? Not much. And so in my opinion, it moves along very, very, very quickly. Halfway through that 7-year agreement, he breaks his promise. And do you remember what the Antichrist does? He sets up a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. And everybody has to what? Bow down and worship him. Do you see that it is modeled here? Some 500 plus years BC, right down to the 666 of sorts. John Corson says here, and I love what his comment is, you know, you can't continually listen to the world's music and then expect not to bow when the world does. Verse 7, so at that time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, how many of the people, what's your next word? All the people, all the nations, and all the languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Right in your Bible, Revelation 13, and we've got time. Let's just check it out. Everybody hold your finger in Daniel chapter 3. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 13 and watch how truly startling this comparison is. How amazing the model of Nebuchadnezzar is going to be played out in the Great Tribulation. Chapter 13 is about the halfway point in the 70th week of Daniel. There's about 1,260 days left. Left until when? Until chapter 19, when Jesus comes back and says, that's it for you, pal. But let's check it out. Chapter 13, Revelation, verse 1. John says, and I stood on a stand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Is this the ocean? Well, it could be, but I don't think so. Right in your margin there, Isaiah 57, verse 20, where the Bible says that the people, the restless, sinful, agitated humankind, that they are referred to as an unsettled sea. Whenever the Bible employs a metaphor or a model or a simile, if the Bible ever explains it, no matter in front or behind, then expositional constancy says that simile will always mean the very same thing. So in Isaiah chapter 57, that the restless humanity is like a troubled sea, if this is a metaphor, then who would this be? The restless masses of humanity. Very likely. We're halfway through the Great Tribulation, so there's a whole lot of stuff that has happened. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. We're going to learn all about this in Daniel chapter 7. Verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. Remember how the polymetallic person or the statue stood for all these kingdoms. And that's kind of how humans see their kingdoms, gold and silver and whatnot. In chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, they're not these metals whatsoever. God sees these empires as ravenous, awful, carnivorous beasts. And it's interesting, too, that in chapter 7 in the book of Daniel, the first one actually we see is the lion. Then we see the bear. The lion is the Babylonians, for some reasons we'll get to. The bear is the Medo-Persians, for some reasons we'll get to. And the leopard is the Empire of Greece and Alexander the Great. Well, I want you to notice that they are inverted in their order. Daniel chapter 7, the lion is first. Here, the leopard is first. What's going on? From the Old Testament, it looks one way. On the other side of the cross, it looks different. Isn't that pretty awesome? And then the dragon, and we know who that is. We were explained that the dragon was the devil in chapter 12. So the devil gave him, this Antichrist, his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Right in your margin, Zechariah, Z-E-C-H, Zechariah 11 verse 17 gives us more to the story. There's an assassination attempt on this Antichrist, and he has a wound that is so awful that it would appear he's going to die. He may be so wounded it looks like he's going to die, but in my personal opinion, I think the human who is used as the Antichrist, I think he actually does die. And it is the devil himself who reanimates the dead body, faking a what? Resurrection. When we get to Daniel 7, perhaps, I'll show you that the first 1260 days, which is measured quite precisely, the last 1260 days, again, measured quite precisely, every 7-year period of how the Jews reckon their time with the lunar calendar, one of their months is 29 days, and the other month is 30 days, and then 29 and 30 and 29 and 30. And because something happened in 701 BC, the lunar cycle doesn't match up like it used to. Now instead of 360 days, our calendar is 365 and a quarter. So this lunar sort of cycle runs behind a bit. And so every 7-year period requires at least one, and sometimes two, an extra month in the Jewish calendar. It's called Adar 2. For 2 and 3 and sometimes 4 years, they'll go their calendar as per normal. But then they'll always have to put an adjustment month there in the middle somehow. And so when you get 1260 days and 1260 days, if it's across any 7-year Jewish period, you have to have an extra 30 days in there somewhere. Sometimes two. We know the day that it begins, the enforcing of the treaty, and that the two witnesses are going to show up for 1260 days. It says so. They're allowed to be killed, and then the whole world sees their dead bodies. 3 days later, they raise up. And then we know that the last 1260 days are very precise. In fact, the Bible describes them as time, times, and a half a time, 3.5. When you see this one particular event, the abomination of desolation, you can literally count 1260 days until Revelation 19. So the first 1260 are very well described, and the last 1260 are very well prescribed. It is my personal opinion that somewhere, and likely right in the middle, is one of those Adar 2s, an extra 30 days. And why is that important? Because I've actually got my calculator out and counted 1260 days in a typical Jewish year. If the first 1260 days ends that they give these gifts, some people say, well, that must be December because they're giving gifts at Christmas. Well, that's not very smart because these are Jewish people. And the only time you see people giving gifts in the Bible was in the book of Esther. And it was when Mordecai is successful over Haman. I won't go into all the details, but if you do the counting and your 1260 days back, and then the last 1260 days, and if possible, that Adar 2 is right there in the middle, guess what Jewish feast happens right in the middle of that time? It's the spring months to us, but it is Nisan. And if you do the math, it is very possible that that extra 30-day Adar counting backwards, you come up with a very distinct possibility that the Antichrist could conceivably be killed on Nisan 14. It's a possibility. And what if he is dead in this terrible mortal wound that everybody says, he's dead? And then what if the Antichrist is then reanimated, his body, by the devil himself? And what if the Antichrist rises on the Feast of First Fruits? What if? Just kind of tuck that in your pocket. But who knows? But what if the human, the Antichrist, dies on the 14th of Nisan? And what if he is miraculously raised, Zechariah 11, and also here, what if he is raised 3 days later on the Feast of First Fruits? Would that be a compelling neener of the devil to the Lord? Interesting idea. But when it does happen, at that midpoint in the Great Tribulation, that's when the Antichrist now, that they used to think was their Messiah. After all, he got them their temple. After all, he got them this peace treaty, and everybody's leaving them alone. And they're thinking that he's Messiah, and for 3.5 years, the two witnesses, likely Moses and Elijah, are saying, he's not the man, he's not the man. And they don't believe him until they're killed, and then they what? Raise and ascend. And what if this whole thing about the attempt on the Antichrist's life, what if this all happens around Nisan? Potentially, it's a possibility. And what if he comes after his resurrection and says, you're no longer going to use this temple to worship your God. You're going to worship me. The abomination of desolation. And that's when Jesus said in Matthew 24, hey Israel, if you see that, if you're on the roof, don't even go into the house to get your coat. Get out of Dodge right away and get to the city of Petra. And for the last 3.5 years, the devil is in full control of the body of the human, the Antichrist, and he uses all of his forces to go after the Jews for the next 1260 days. Verse 3, one more time. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. His deadly wound was healed. And all the world, what? Marveled. That's the Greek word thuamazo. And it means they are in great fear and wonderment. It's not like, golly, look at that. Ain't that cool? They're all, oh, no. 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things, not great like good things, but awful and blasphemous stuff. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. One of the descriptions of that last half of Daniel's 70th week, or 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, because he's going to set up a statue of himself, and those who dwell in heaven. Who do you think that is? Could be the angelic hosts. You know who I think it is? It's us. We've been in heaven now for 3.5 years. That old church, you know, and will blaspheme us too. Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war against the saints. This is not the church. Not the church at all. And for some reasons, especially Matthew 16. What did Jesus say about the church? That the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. To have this prevailing against the saints, these are tribulation saints. And to overcome them. We're going to see this also in Daniel chapter 7. And authority was given to him over how many tribes? Every tribe, tongue, and nation, and write in your margin there. Yeah, that's Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. All the people, all the nations, all the languages modeled by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, except for people who love Jesus Christ, who became Christians after the rapture, who did not take the mark of the beast. And most, if not almost all, will pay for that with their lives. Whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb, the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. And we're going to see that here acted out in the 3rd chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar says, stoke that furnace 7 times hotter. And so the people who throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you remember what happens to them? They die. Modeling this. That those people that are carrying out the bidding of the Antichrist and are wielding the sword, they're going to get killed by the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 18. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. What is 6 the number of? It's the number of incompletion, or specifically man. 7 is the number of completion. 6 is one in front of 7 is 6, incompletion, if you will. And guess what day man was made on? Day 6. So to a large degree, 6 might be the number of man. And what does the number 3 represent? It represents atonement or redemption. So 6, man, 3 times is kind of a blasphemy in and of itself. Man or a man is going to save you. And of course, that's blasphemy. Now back to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Now we're at verse 8. Do you see along with me that we've got the fiery furnace? We've got the statue. You better bow down. We've got the 666 rolling. And if you don't do what this Nebuchadnezzar fella says, you're going to go and burn in the fiery furnace.
You've been listening to the powerfully prophetic book of Daniel with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Daniel continues to show us that because God so obviously knows and guides the future of nations, He certainly knows and guides our future as well. What a great comfort that we may not know what the future holds, but Daniel shows us who does hold the future. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.